Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the power of your word. Bless our time together, and may you teach us something and build our faith today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Over the past several weeks, we've been looking at some things that Jesus revealed to us as mankind about God. The first one we talked about was Jesus the Word. These are all from the book of John. Jesus the Word in John chapter 1. And in that message we learned that Jesus is a lot more than a man. He is one of the three persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. All three are distinct in person, yet one in essence. And as God in the flesh, Jesus had the unique role of showing us the truth about God. Things that without Jesus coming, we just would not be able to know about God. The rest of it is all guesswork. What Jesus has revealed about God is what we needed to know. The next week we learned that Jesus was the divine transformer. And he, by giving us the opportunity to be born again, we learned that God is all about making us into new creations, didn't we? Ready to meet God. And the following week, we talked about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus was revealed to us as the divine equalizer. He took a holy sledgehammer to the walls that separated the inequality between the races and the genders, and he taught us that we are to accept others without judging, right? Then on March 12th, we talked about Jesus, the divine truth. And we talked about how important it is to maintain sound doctrine and how we need to be very mindful that the world is and the culture is trying to pervert the core truths of the gospel. And last week, we talked about Jesus' role as the divine liberator. He came to give us freedom, not freedom to sin, but freedom from sin. And we pointed out that the enemies of the freedom were the world, the flesh, and the devil, but God has equipped us to conquer all of those enemies. Now, if you haven't heard any of those messages, or maybe you haven't heard some of them, I'd encourage you to go to our website. It's on the back of your bulletin. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about the very thing that Don just sang about, and that is that God answers prayer, and that Jesus specifically is God of the impossible. He's not limited by the laws of nature. Things that seem impossible to us. With God, nothing is impossible. Jesus is divine over the impossible. Now, God gave us a perfect illustration for that this week. Now, if you were here last week, you know we prayed for a gal named Elaine. Now, Stan normally plays our drums for us. And his wife Elaine was diagnosed with a mitral valve that had a mass on it, on her heart, and it needed to be taken. They were going to replace that valve on Monday. That was the plan. And so we prayed on Sunday, and a lot of other people prayed on Sunday. And just the fact that they even found this problem was a miracle in the first place, because the doctor said he didn't remember ordering any test, but somebody ordered a test and they found that problem on her heart. Well, Monday morning I drove over to Corvallis, and she was scheduled for surgery at 9, and I got there at 8:30, and they'd already taken her back. And so I prayed with Stan and his daughter, and then I came home. A little while later, she went into surgery. She was all anesthetized and everything. Well, they'd done a number of echocardiograms, I guess that's what they are, so they could see the problem. Well, they decided to do one more before they cut into her. And when they did, the mass was completely gone. She was healed. So instead of waking up to, praise God. And this, her husband's a doctor, by the way. I mean, I'm not telling you something that's phony. she woke up instead of with a chest split open and months of recovery in a new, I don't know what do they use, a pig valve or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, she woke up with what happened? Nobody did anything to me. Well, it was gone. We didn't have to. She said, that's a miracle. And they said, we have no other explanation for it. So, praise God. Yeah. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? It's not. Now, throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus doing mighty works, works that defy the laws of nature. He turned water into wine, and he multiplied loaves and fish to feed many thousands, and he healed a whole bunch of people with different diseases and people that were crippled, and he also raised the dead. He spoke to demons, and they flew. He casted them out with just a word. Now, even though our verse from John 15:7 says, you can ask whatever you want and it will be done, we see from the rest of the teaching of Jesus that in order for that to be true, and even in that spot, the context says we need to be in the vine. And if we're truly in the vine, the things we ask for then will be in line with his will. Now, if you're concerned that I might be a name it and claim it guy, I'm not. Maybe you want me to be, but I'm not. Because in fact, if we look at scripture, the balance assessment of scripture, we're going to see that there is always a paradox. A paradox is something that seems to be contradictory or opposed, yet both statements are absolutely true. The Bible is full of paradoxes, which is another sermon for another time, and I will do that one. But it's vital for us to understand that. And the lacking of that understanding has caused divisions in the church because people will take extreme positions on any doctrine. Now, these paradoxes are hard for us to understand. That makes us trust God all the more. When it comes to answered prayer, which is what we're going to look at this morning, I'm going to propose that in Scripture we see God answering prayer in four different ways. Now, I'm going to give these briefly to you. If you would like to take one of those yellow pads and write those down, you're welcome to do that. How does God answer prayer? Well, the first one is this. If the request is wrong, God answers no. Scripture itself teaches us that many prayers we pray are self-centered prayers, and God is not our genie in the sky. God will reserve the right to say no. He always has your best interests at heart. For Paul, as well as for us, his answer might be this: my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I'm here to help you deal with this. Trust me. Trust me. That's one way he answers. It might be no. Number two is, if the timing is wrong, God answers slow. What does that mean? In all God's wisdom, he knows the right timing for everything. In many cases, the answer we get is this: not yet. Not yet. Be patient. Request might be fine, but the timing is not. Again, God will prepare us. He will prepare you for the perfect timing. The third answer that he gives is, if you are wrong, God answers grow. God answers grow. Living a blatant life of sin will hinder your prayers, and God will use whatever means to see that we are growing in his through whatever circumstances we are in. He is more concerned with our character than he is our comfort. So if you are wrong, he will answer grow. And the fourth one we like, because the fourth one is, if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God answers go. God answers go. The wheels are set in motion. The answer comes. These are the yes answers that we like. We love to get those. But the request has to be in line with his will, in line with his timing, and in line with the big picture plan that he has for us. We have to be in right standing with him. Now there are some things, though, that we can absolutely be sure are his will for us. And that is, one of those is 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So we need to pray for souls and pray in faith for our loved ones and those that need to know Jesus. Pastor Cheryl is going to come now, and she's going to encourage us to pray big prayers to a big God and believe that the answers are on the way. Amen? Welcome this beautiful young lady.
Any photographers in the house? Okay. Anybody? Love photography? Uh-huh. Kindred spirit? Okay. I absolutely love photography. It's one of my favorite hobbies. I love capturing the moments of life in picture. I like looking through my lens and finding my subject, and then I can decide, do I focus on my subject or maybe something further out or maybe in front? What I want to have blurred out, what I want to have stand out. I love to preserve memories through pictures. Monumental occasions, birthdays, anniversaries, births, weddings. Monumental occasions go on and on in life. We just got to look for them. A little graduation from kindergarten, fifth grade. They're happening all around us. I love capturing those moments. I love capturing heaven and earth as it declares the glory of the Lord. Sunrises, sunsets, spring, blossoms. Have you noticed the blossoming of the trees? Glorious. I was in Salem at the state capitol this week, and it was just block after block, pink blossoms. Fabulous. And I always think of this time of year as rainbow season. So if you're a photographer, you know that you're going to have the rain, but you're also going to get the sun in this spring like none other time. You're going to have those rainbows, those glorious double rainbows. You love capturing them. I love capturing all of nature as it declares the glory of God. I love capturing happy hearts, historical events, just life. And Pastor has this favorite thing that he likes to do, because I often will say, oh, we got to take a picture of this. We got to take a picture of this. In fact, when we had our marriage tune-up a couple weeks ago, I had all the couples stand up here, and then our photographer went up in the eagle's nest up here to take a picture down on us, and we all looked up, and, you know, he's like, come on, honey, come on. So when I say smile, he's like, take the stinking picture. Take the stinking picture. Okay, he's smiling, but he's really saying that because it's like, come on, hurry up, hurry up. And that's just telling it like it is. Yes, yes, and yes. Yes, honey, honey, we're in church. You can't lie. Okay, okay. So but I do it so much. It's like, really, another picture? But you know what? We have albums and memory videos like none other. I want you to finish a couple quotes with me. A picture is worth 1,000 words. Now, that's a Kodak moment. And if I said, say cheese, most of you would smile. You say cheese. Okay. Most of you, except Pastor's like, take the stinking picture. Okay. Okay. Take the stinking pictures. Well, I've attended hundreds of weddings and hundreds of funerals over my life. And there's a couple things that I noticed they have in common. Pictures. Pictures. At our daughter's wedding, we had pictures, a video of her growing up, Marcus, her husband-to-be, growing up, and then pictures of them coming together as a couple, engaged, to bring them to that very special day, their wedding day. We watched that video. But I've also been at my family member's service, where we watched the video as we remember their life, and we celebrate that life that was lived. Young, growing older, all the phases of life, pictures. There might be bulletin boards with pictures. The tables might be decorated with pictures. Life is filled with many, many picture memories. And I love what it does, that it just makes you feel those warm feelings watching the memories go by in pictures. Psalms 139:16-18 says, "You saw me before I was born, and you scheduled each day of my life before I even began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I awaken in the morning, you are still thinking of me." So we have this book of life where every day has been written. And I thought about just a what if. What if we were to take pictures of our life, our seasons, our memories, our disappointments, our trials? What if we were to provide the illustrations to that book, the pictures to that book? And someday we were to sit down with the Lord and we were to look through that memory book of our life, illustrated by the pictures we had taken. We could choose what lens, what filters. We could choose what we focused on, where we focused. And most importantly, during those trials, during life, who we focused on. So if that was your album, at the end, would your album be black and white and dark and dreary, gloomy? Would your album have pictures that are colorful, vibrant, light, and full of life? I'll tell you what. Jesus, who is divine over the impossible, wants to shed light in color, in abundance, as we do this life. And as we record the days of our lives, he wants to show up in his splendor and majesty all the time. The God of miracles is here to encompass our lives. The God of impossible prevails. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for miracles? That wasn't a trick question. But you're honest. Are you looking for them? Well, I wanted to read directly out of Elaine Neal's Facebook. A couple of her posts, just, they were incredible. So this is Elaine speaking. I had my ultrasound done yesterday, and this morning I got the report back. This is after her surgery, her non-surgery. "There is no sign of growth hanging loose in my arteries, and I am beyond thrilled and thankful, so very thankful. Waking up from my non-surgery and being told I didn't have to have it, wow. I told the man who was helping me wake up, this is a miracle. He replied, I have no other word for it. Words cannot express my appreciation for all of your prayers. What I am feeling is joy and thankfulness. Thank you all for your part in our miracle. I know we weren't praying for a miracle. We were praying for a good outcome. Like, you know, guide the surgeons, be with them, may she recover well, give peace to the family. We were praying those kind of prayers. But she said, a miracle is what we got. How can I ever say thank you enough to you, God? 4 times she said, miracle, miracle, miracle. Let's start praying for them. Continue if you already are. Expect God to not only show up, but to show off. How many like show-offs? There was always that kid on the playground, or there was always somebody in the family that just liked to show off. And it just kind of like, oh, that little show-off. Oh, they're showing off. You know what? I just say, Lord, would you just come and show off? Anybody? Just do it, Lord. We dare you. Just do it, do it, do it. Come and show off every day in our lives. Continue to look for him. So I have here my special camera and my nice little lens. And I'm going to just ask you to play along with me as we consider a few scenarios this morning. I'm going to look through my life and what's going on. look through your life. What's going on right now? So right in front of me, there is a disease. I can see it clearly. It's clearly in focus. But wait, there's something else in the picture. And it is actually a little more prominent, but yet it's blurred because I have chosen to focus on my disease by choice. So what else was prominent is more blurred. Okay, think about it. What are you focusing in on right now? What is going on? I'm sure there's probably two or three or four things going on in life right now. Right now. Right now. And we're going to capture pictures right now to put in our memory book. Perhaps you're focused on a broken relationship. A sibling you haven't heard from in forever. A parent you haven't spoken to. A child. Spouse. Losses. Lack of finances. Maybe you're focusing on your past pains and hurts, the what ifs, the regrets. You're looking at life. You're looking at life with your camera and you're going to take some pictures. You're going to take pictures to commemorate and to remember where you were and what was going on. But I want to offer you this because we're looking at the God of impossibilities this morning. He says in Hebrews 11:6 in his word, it is written, it is impossible to please God without faith. Because the one who draws you near to God is the one you must believe in. You must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who try to find him. So right now, if you're looking through life with your special camera, through your special lens, if you're seeing and experiencing doubt, dark shadows, fear, guilt, shame, despair, discouragement, I'm going to suggest to you it's time to change the lens. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need to put on our faith lens. When we look through life, when we look through brokenness, when we look at disease, when we look at heartache, when we look at our past, present, or future, we need to look through the lens of faith in God who does the impossible. That's a good place to say amen. Jesus reveals to mankind that with God, all things are... Okay. Jeremiah 32:26-28 says, then the Lord spoke this word to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of every person on earth, all flesh. Nothing is impossible. Is anything too hard for me? You've got to look through your faith lens. There is nobody too far gone. There is no disease that he does not and cannot heal. He is Jehovah, our provider for our financial needs, our emotional needs. Physical, everything comes because of his great riches. God is the God of the impossible. Romans 10:17 says, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Another translation says, so faith comes from hearing the good news. And people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. When we testify of the goodness of God, how he's seen us through those dark times, those trials, those tests. When we testify with our mouth, it encourages. Others hear it and they're encouraged, and faith grows in their heart. When you heard of Elaine's healing this morning, did faith leap in your heart? Did your goosebumps have goosebumps? Was that something to encourage you? Good answer. It encourages us when we hear that God is on the move and doing miracles. Our faith grows as we hear, as we read God's word, as we're taught, and as we have ears to hear, as we listen. We are transformed by the way we think, by the renewing of our mind in God's truth. Jesus revealed the truth that nothing is impossible with God. I will say it again and again till you wake up in the night and you're saying it. It's playing like a recorder. Nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are. We all have been given this measure of faith. Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ. It is by that grace that you have been saved. You've actually been delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. Not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or to take credit in any way for salvation. We are his workmanship, his own masterwork, his work of art, created in Christ Jesus. We are reborn from above spiritually. We are transformed. We're renewed. We're ready to be used for good works. God has prepared those works ahead of time, taking paths for us and setting them into motion. We are to walk in them. We're to live in the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. He has a plan for your life. He has set it in motion from before time. He is timeless. He wants you to walk it out. Let your good deeds so shine before other people that they will glorify our Heavenly Father. This is a fabulous true story out of Acts 3. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting. And I thought, honey, wouldn't that be fun to have a 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting for the saints to all come in? Charlie would come. He's smiling already. He likes it. He likes it. As they approached the temple, they saw a lame man from birth carried along the street and laid beside the temple gate. The one called the Beautiful Gate, and that was the custom that he would come there every day. So Peter and John were passing by, and he asked them for some money. They looked at him intently, and then Peter said, "Look here!" The lame man looked, and he was excited, expecting a gift. Peter said, "We don't have any money for you, but I'll give you something else. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and pulled him to his feet. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened so that he could come up with a leap. He stood there a moment, and then he began walking, and then he went walking, and then he went leaping, and then he went praising God as he went into the temple with them. When the people inside saw him walking and heard him praising God, and they realized that that was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were inexpressibly surprised. They all rushed out to Solomon's hall where he was holding tightly to Peter and John. Everyone stood there and they were wondering what wonderful thing had just happened. They were absolutely in awe. Peter saw this opportunity and he addressed the crowd. He said, "Men of Israel, what is so surprising about this? And why look at us as though we in our power and godliness had made this man walk? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of our ancestors who brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. I refer to the Jesus whom you rejected before Pilate, Despite Pilate's determination to release him, you didn't want him freed. This holy, righteous one. Instead, you demanded the release of a murderer, and you killed the author of life. But God brought him back to life again. And John and I are witnesses of this fact. And after you killed him, we saw him alive again. It's Jesus' name that has healed this man. And you know how lame he was before. It's faith in Jesus' name. Faith given us from God that has caused a perfect healing. Faith given to us by God. We need to look through the lens of faith in Jesus' name when we look at our life's situation. When we look at brokenness and poverty and illness and disease, we see impossibility. But I'm going to point out something that was pointed out to the girls at Bible study a couple weeks ago by one of our sisters, Deanna. And she says, when you look at this word impossible, I want you to now see, instead of impossible, I want you to see I am possible. I want you to see the great I am. When you ever see or hear or think impossible, impossible, impossibility, I am. Moses said when he was going to Pharaoh, who do I say sent me? And the Lord said, tell him, I am sent you. I am the great creator, God, all powerful, all knowing. I am. When you see impossibility, see I am. With God, all things are possible. Big difference. Now you can choose to see that, or you could choose to be like the people that were in Jesus' hometown. Matthew 13, starting with verse 54. Jesus was coming into his own country, Nazareth, and he taught in their synagogue. They were so amazed with bewildered wonder. They said, where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And do not all his sisters live here among us? Where did this man get all this power? And they took offense at him. They were repelled and they were hindered from acknowledging his authority, and they were caused to stumble. The men and women did a Bible study this last year called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. I highly, strongly recommend that book. I think when someone becomes a Christ follower, they should get a Bible and the book, The Bait of Satan. It's all about taking the bait of being offended, getting ticked off, getting upset. It says that they got offended and it caused them to stumble. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Listen to this verse 58 of Matthew 13. And he, Jesus, did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. Was the power lacking in him? No. This is the Son of the living God. He didn't lack power. It was their faith. Shut it down. The unbelief. Shut it down. Pastor read John 15, 1 through 7. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relationship is intimate. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce anything. Anyone who separates from me is like dead wood, gathered up and thrown in the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is quiz time. Pastor said he was going to give you four answers to prayer and that you could write them down on a little notepad. Now, some of you didn't do that, because you can remember things so well that you're just going to be able to shoot out the answers right now. Now, others of you, like me, you can go in the kitchen and forget what you went in the kitchen for. So we're in trouble if we didn't write it down. What did he say? If the request is wrong, what is God's answer? No, if it's wrong. Because scripture teaches us that we pray with selfish motives. We have self-centered prayers. God will not be our genie in the sky, he said. Now, if the timing is wrong, God answers slow. In God's all-knowing wisdom, he knows the right timing for everything. In many cases, the answer we get is not yet. The request might be fine, but the timing is not. Now, if you are wrong in your motive, God will answer grow, okay? Because he's more concerned about our character than our comfort, and he wants to work things out in us, show us a wrong motive, maybe show us a pride motive. He wants to grow our character through our circumstances. If the request is right, the timing is right, our motives are right, we are right, God answers, go. The wheels are set in motion because the timing is right. We have asked because the will has been made evident that God is ready to answer, and he will. But the request has to be in line. We have to trust him. We have to know him. And that's when we abide in the vine, that's what we get. We get the knowing. We get to know the will of the Father because we're abiding in him and his word. You can't go wrong by asking, by seeking, by knocking. And as that song said today, we're maybe just one prayer away from the answer when we focus on finding God in the picture. When you focus on finding the I am of impossibilities, you will see that with God, all things are. There is nothing too hard for God. He will work all things together for your good and for his glory. He is the God of abundance and of grace. So when I look through this and I looked at disease, I saw hope. I saw Jesus, my healer. I saw strength given by my God. I didn't have my worry lens on, my fear lens on. I saw God through all of my circumstances. When Pastor's mill shut down after 30 years and he figured he would just be there for the rest of his days and retire from there, we looked through the lens of that particular chapter in our lives and we saw God's grace. We saw his guiding. We saw peace. He covered that situation. We didn't know we were going to go back to school and become credentialed pastors. God knew. He put an excitement in our hearts so we can go back and look at those days and say, we saw God. We saw him working in advance. He saw us and where we were going to be, and he began to prepare a way. When Pastor had a diagnosis of cancer at age 48, we got ready to take some pictures of that. Sitting in that doctor's office, the peace of God, which transcends the heart and the mind, covered us. The doctor even noted that. How can you be so calm? You're so young. We said, well, it's God. God's got this. Do you see, when you look through faith, when you look at your situation, your kids, your grandkids, and when you look through faith, what does God say? He says he loves them more than you do. He said he's not willing that any should perish. He says, I will wait for that prodigal. I'm going to have a feast ready for them when they come through that door. When you look at your disease, you need to see the healer. When you look through brokenness, you need to see the one that restores, that makes all things new. When you go through loss, you need to see the great comforter. You need to see the Prince of Peace. You need to know the joy in the midst of the pain that he gives to sustain us. Our God is all over life, and life is hard, but God is good. You've got to choose your lens. Is your photo album going to be filled with the black and whites, or the color, the rainbows, the silver linings, the breakthroughs, tranquility, peace? You choose the lens, the filters, and what you will focus on. Focus on the I am in your impossible situation. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you right now that you have asked us to be stretched. You have asked us to believe for the impossible, to pray for the impossible, to ask for the impossible. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to exercise our faith, knowing that you are my covering. When I look at my shame of my past, instead of having that guilt lens on, I have the lens that says Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is the one that sanctifies me. He's my savior. When I'm feeling alone, I look through the lens of faith and say, the Lord is my banner. His banner over me is love. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. You provide, you heal, you are there. You are jealous for us to find you and to love you and to serve you. Thank you today for an opportunity, Lord, to call upon your precious name.